4, and you got to hurry. Or I got to hurry. I'm not sure which one, but Acts chapter 4. It's been a good day. We've shared a lot with you, and a lot to be much in prayer for, a lot to be a part of. And I believe in, and I know we got folks who are here who are visitors who haven't joined our church, and we want you to know what kind of church we are. We want you to know what kind of church we are. We're not ashamed of that. We're not trying to present something we're not. We're not trying to put on a show for you to impress you. And that's what I want you to see about in our message this morning in Acts chapter 4. Just two verses. I want you to find it and stand. Hurry up, stand. I got to go. We got a lot to do. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. He's a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. He, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want to speak to you this morning on a message very quickly. The church in action. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the privilege that I have had to pastor these precious, wonderful people. And Lord, in the days ahead that you have for us, I look forward with what you're going to do in the life of ministry of this place. And through us and through what you want to do. I pray, Lord, in these few moments we have together that you'll draw us close to you. And everything that's said and done, and bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. For several weeks, we've talked about the characteristics of a New Testament church. We have seen some things in action in our church. And even over this past weekend, we're going to tell you about in just a second. But I want you to look at the text of this message this morning. And as we talk about the church in action, it's not enough just to say, I belong to a church. Or I'm a member of White Plains Baptist Church. It's not enough just to say I'm a Christian or I'm a follower of Jesus. What really shows if that's real in your life is what do you do about it? How does it change your life? What does it affect in your daily walk and when you go to school and when you go to work and when you make decisions for your family? In the early church, by way of introduction, this morning, the state of the church in verses 32 through 35, we find just this group of people as the church began to grow and persecution has now begun to take place. And it uses descriptions in these verses to describe the church as a multitude of people. They were with one heart and one soul. They had all things in common. There was great power, great grace. And people didn't lack for anything. People came together and gave according to everyone who had a need. There was a great ministry that was going on in the early church. And this was not something where they just came together on Sunday and dressed up and looked good and put on a show and had a program and had activities. And then they went home and nothing had any effect on that. That's not the way it was. This was their life. The church and what God had done and through Jesus and the resurrection. And many of these folks had seen the resurrected Lord in person. And now it affected everything about them to the point that there were two main characteristics we find in verse 36 and 37. And I'm going to share, like I said, real quickly this morning. The first one is that this was a church that was encouraging. A church in action is a church that is encouraging. Brother Bill, would you come on up here, please, and be ready for just a second. We find in verse 36, we meet a man by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas. And this man had a great impact. He was not one of the 12. He did not follow Jesus in those early days of his ministry. But Barnabas had come to faith in Christ, evidently. And the power of the gospel had changed his life. In fact, the word Barnabas, his name means this. Are you ready? It means encourager. How about that? That's the kind of guy you want on your greeting committee in your church. Encourager. You want that guy on your advisory council. And he was an encourager. He didn't show up and gripe and complain about everything that was going on. He didn't always have something negative, but without anything positive to say. You know people like that. There's some people when you do, there's some things you just don't bring up around some folks. You know, you never ask them, how you doing? Because, brother, they'll tell you. And you just don't ask those questions to some people. And then some people, that you don't want them in those planning meetings because they're always negative. They never bring up anything positive. They never have anything to offer. That was not Barnabas. Barnabas was encouraging. Barnabas was a part of the work and in action. He put things in action. Yesterday, Brother Bill's going to come and John, if you'll give me power to this pulpit mic for Brother Bill. Bill's going to come and tell us that yesterday, White Plains Baptist Church put things in action to do some things for people in our church family, in our community. And I've asked Bill just to, real quick, come on, yeah. Tell it, Bill. Okay, it was a great day. Tell us about it.
Thanks so much going on. I don't know if I can do it real quick or not, but a few months back, we found a need in our community, and the men began to come together, and I want to thank everybody that gave money, the Sunday school classes, and everybody that supported the project, but we were able to do a project in the community. We realized there was another need, and that began to come together, and we had it. When we finished up with the project, we had money left over, so then we decided that we were going to do some other projects. So yesterday, we had four groups. We had a group cooking, three groups at different places doing work. We had 20 people. We had a group from Pickens Church of God that come that could do a special project that we were not able to do, and they come down and joined us, so we're hoping we can help them in the future. But we just had a great time with 20 people working, and I just want to thank each one that gave money, each one in the Sunday school class that supported our needs, and actually when the project was over, we got money left over, and we decided, well, we're going to do another project. So we had, everything's been really good. The Lord has really blessed us, and I want to thank the church for supporting us and supporting the needs in the community that we were able to do yesterday. And I just like to recognize everybody. I'm just thrilled that everybody that signed up come out, except one person, he had something to come up. He wasn't able to come, but everybody was here that said they would be here. We were here at 9 o'clock. We had lunch at 12 o'clock. And everybody really had a good time, and I was really impressed and thoroughly enjoyed it myself. And I want to thank everybody that was involved and everybody that supported our project.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. You know, I thank you so much as your pastor that even though, these were things that were going on and we'd raise some money and everybody pitching in, this was something not one person could do. Bill couldn't do it by himself, could you? You couldn't do all that by yourself. Two or three of you couldn't do it. It took a great group of folks, even people who were not members of this local congregation, came down yesterday and helped some people in our community, in our church. That's what being a church is all about, and that's what's encouraging, is when we put things in action. Don't just say, I'm a member of White Plains Baptist Church. Do something about it. Get involved. Be a part. I mean, it could be making shoe boxes. It could be bringing cans for cranberry sauce. It could help with the directory. It could be any number of the things that come up, whether it's helping a roof, breaking leaves, just being a ministry part. That's the kind of person Barnabas was, and I believe that's the kind of person we need to be in our churches. Is that encouraging? If you've got something discouraging to say, don't say it without praying about it and go to the altar and pray about it. And you know, and I know not everything can be, but we think that it just ought to be positive, right, Brother John? I mean, we talk about that so many times in our meetings, and we've got enough in this world to bring us down. We've got enough in this world to be negative about and to be discouraging about. We need to come as a people of God to encourage each other, but then we can be an encouragement to a lost and dying world. They're looking for answers, and let me tell you, it's not in the political process where they're going to find answers. They're not going to find it in an election. They're not going to find it in entertainment. They're not going to find it in sports and all of the things. It is found in a personal walk with God. That walk with God changed Barnabas' life. He became known as a person. And that's what that word consolation means there in verse 3. The son of consolation. He was the son of encouragement. Oh, wouldn't it be great if people looked at you and said, man, he's encouraging. She's encouraging. Every time she's always got something encouraging to say. She's a blessing to be around. Oh, I look forward when she's here. And when she's not here, I miss them because they're so encouraging. Oh, let us be a Barnabas in our church. Let us support and be a part of the work that goes on. But number two, not only was a church in action an encouraging church, but it was also a supporting church. It was a supporting church. Notice what Barnabas did and set an example. It wasn't just him. There were so many of this. We find back up in the other verses that we read that people had things and brought them and gave to people, even among the congregation. And even Barnabas in verse 37, having land sold, it brought the money and gave it at the apostles' feet. Now, this is something that's always amazed me. In fact, you see things like this way back in chapter 2. As people had that believed were together, they had all things common, sold their possessions, parted to them as every man had need. That was way back right after the day of Pentecost. And even here in chapter 4, they're still doing it. But here's something that in my study of the book of Acts that I have not found a single command that either Jesus or any of the apostles or the disciples commanded them to do this. There was no command for you to, hey, if you join this church, you got to go sell your house, bring the money and give to the church. I don't think many people would be lined up to join our church today if we required that. I don't believe anybody would want to jump in and join the church if they knew they had to sell everything they had, bring us the money, and then, you know, you make do with whatever. And but these people did it because giving was personal to them. It was not a command. There was nowhere in the Word of God we find, and Scott, I can't find it. Gary, can you find it? I cannot find anywhere where they were commanded to go sell their possessions and bring it back to the apostles. They did it of their own free will. Now, here's why a lot of churches have messed up this whole issue of giving and stewardship and tithing. It's because they've misinterpreted and misapplied the Word of God to make it to where, brother, if you give to God, man, sometime this week you're going to get a check in the mail. And God's going to give you money you didn't know was coming. You'll not find that in the Word of God. Now, if God chooses to do that, praise God for it, amen? He can do that if He wants. But nowhere in the Word of God will you find that. And just because some people have messed this doctrine up and messed up the teaching of giving in the church doesn't mean that we should back up and be afraid to talk about it. We should be at the front and foremost saying, this is what the Bible says. It was personal. It was sacrificial. It was voluntary. God loves you no matter what this morning. You can't put enough offering in the plate to cause God to love you any more than He loves you right now. And if you think that God loves you because you put a check in the plate this morning, you've misunderstood the Word of God. You've misunderstood God's love. But God does command for us to be obedient. God does ask us to put Him first. And this issue of money is so personal. It so affects everything about our lives. We're raising families. We're paying bills. We're providing for our children. And we're taking care of needs. And God just asks us, put me first in this area of your life, of your finances. Give me the first 10%, and I promise you, I'll help you with the rest 90%. And you'll do better with 90% with God's help than you can with 100% on your own without God. Mark her down. In fact, even in the Old Testament, it's an Old Testament concept of that tithing. In Malachi, says, God says that if you'll just bring the tithes into the storehouse, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you can't even handle if you'll just put me first. I don't know about you, but I like God's plan of financial management a whole lot better than the rest of us. And some of you still, as Christians and members of this church, still have not learned to trust God with your finances, and you wonder why you can't seem to make it from month to month and week to week. Listen, you've been doing it your way. Why don't you try it God's way? Why don't you just put Him first and put Him to the test? Now listen, if you brought an offering this morning and you're standing at your mailbox for the next few days waiting on something, brother, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. I've heard preachers say, if you can't give cheerfully, don't give at all. I'm not in that frame of mind. You know, Duke Power will take a cheerful offering to pay the power bill for this church as much as he'll take a grumpy offering to pay the power bill for this church, okay? They don't really care. No, but God will bless cheerful giving. But if you do it out of obligation, if you do it because the preacher preached on it, if you do it because of any other reason other than a love for the Lord, putting Him first in your life, if you do it for any other reason, God's not going to bless it. But listen, this congregation is full of people who have learned very early on in their lives, and the earlier you learn this, the better. Put God first. Trust Him with the rest. And God will do more with that than you could ever imagine if you'll just trust Him. You'll just trust Him. In the early church, it was a supporting church. That church in action was giving sacrificial. I don't know many people that I know personally who have come to me and said that they have given to the point of being sacrificial. Too many people who are members of churches like this, they give God what's left over. And they say, well, I can't tithe, I don't have enough money. Well, you're looking at the wrong end of it. You give Him the first and He'll help you with rest. You said, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. And if we put God in the right position, in the right place in this, God will bless us through the rest of it. Listen, even the precious lady who most of the people in this church didn't even know, we had to do some research to find somebody who even knew who this was, left this church in her will. And a few weeks ago, we shared with you the blessing of that offering that was given. And people walk around, who is this? I don't know who this is. Look at what she's done to help, as John mentioned this morning. And I'm thinking, so what if more people did that? What if we put in our financial planning, say, you know, after I'm gone from this earth, I want some of what God's blessed me with to be invested into the church and the work of the ministry so I can leave a legacy of what happens after I'm gone. So we'll help you with that. We'll get some forms and you can fill them out. And we'll help you. We got all the contacts and we can help you do that if you want to do that. By the way, I'll go ahead and tell you. I've already done that. After I became your pastor, we changed our will. 10% of my estate, or whatever's left, goes to this church when I'm gone. 10% of my insurance, 10% of everything. Because I believe in that. And I put that first. I mean, because I put God first. Now, I hope, not planning on you using it anytime soon. But when God calls me home, I've instructed my family to make sure God's work comes first. I received a letter this past week. I don't share this to embarrass anybody, but this comes from somebody who's not a member of this church. I looked at the return address. I had no idea. I looked at the envelope. It looked like junk mail. I almost went because it just looked like something I'd seen before. But I decided to open it, and when I opened it, this fell out. And then I read the letter. And then there's a check. Now I'm really interested. Dear Mark Spearman, Pastor, White Plains Baptist Church, October 12, dear Pastor Spearman, a heartfelt thanks to you and your congregation for the warm welcome during my visit a few weeks back. And I'm thinking, who in the world? Somebody visited our church, not even a member, said this: I enjoyed meeting the many folks and can really understand the enthusiastic endorsement that my family gives when they say, quote, not only is God present at White Plains, but the love of mankind is in that church. Amen. It's a beautiful combination which should be the cornerstone of all Christian churches. So therefore, I've enclosed a check to help with a couple projects y'all got going on at White Plains. Divide it up. Take some of the money and buy cans of cranberry sauce. Well, we've already got all of our money, so we'll take that money and we'll give that to the men and the Thanksgiving. We'll help buy more of the food for the Thanksgiving families. And take the other money and pay for 3 of those shoe boxes to send to the children overseas. I will ask in my prayers for the continued blessings upon the Lord upon your ministry. I ask for prayers the Lord to direct me for the best I can do for Him with love, respect, and thanks, my brotherly love, Lloyd Rich. Gary Rich and Ollie Carroll's brother that visited with us a few weeks ago. It was in the men's class, I think, even that Sunday. Was so impressed with what God was doing, sent back a check for the mission, ministry, and outreach of this church because he wanted to be a part. All the way from South Dakota. How about that? P.S. with a smile. Please give the enclosed, I couldn't understand what this was. Please give the enclosed articles on elk hunting in South Dakota to Gary Ebert. And there's this big picture of this big old elk. Look at that big old thing. Good gracious Lord. I said, David Bagwell, have a stroke. I'm telling you. So, Laurel, this is gives your husband. Darius is not able to be here today. Folks, this is what a church in action looks like. Amen. Now let's be a part of it. Concluding slide. I don't know why I forgot what it was. The church in action is a church that is encouraging. It's a church that is supporting. And if you're not encouraging, if you're not supporting, you're missing it. So let's be a part of it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, we love you today. We thank you so much for all that you have done and blessed in this place. Lord, we're not perfect. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your direction. Lord, as we've shared in so many different ways this morning, there's so much to do. If we'll just all do our part, if we'll step up and be faithful to the point of making it personal, do it encouraging, in an encouraging way, and point of being sacrificial. God, you'll get the honor and glory for it all. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as a church to just surrender everything. Surrender our finances, surrender our agendas, surrender our preferences, and give it all the glory to you. Whatever we need to do to be right with you today, I pray we do it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Let's sing this. If God's speaking to your heart, you come. Our deacons will be here. Jenny, you come and lead us.